There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Afternoon, we're going to talk sport in a second. You always know Chris McCarty's in because the football goes on the TV. I always think it's a bit unfortunate the way they shorten Arsenal down.
I think it's wholly appropriate.
I thought you might, as a Spurs fan, Claire Sherrick. Chris, nice to see you.
Yes, very good afternoon.
I was going to say something to you.
You were going to read Glenn's text because you liked it, didn't you?
I was wondering about that. Glenn texts in and says, nice to hear you waxing lyrical this afternoon. I thought, well, is that me rattling on boringly about something? Then I got the bee joke. Fantastic.
Good bee pun. Like well that. Done, Glenn.
Good one indeed. Chris, nice to see you.
Nice to see you. I'm buzzing that the football's on.
Oh, you were holding that back, weren't you? It was difficult. You wanted to get that out a bit earlier.
I'm delighted with myself.
Straining at the seams. So, look, let's start with golf because Team Keimer beat Team Fliegr.
Yes, Abu Dhabi Invitational. The third, it's not the third staging, multiple staging, but it is the third staging since Professional Sports Group took it over from an organisational point of view. And Martin Keimer was in attendance, a three-time winner of the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. And no surprise to see the pros beating the celebs, led by Luis Figo. Spent the weekend with Luis, not me personally, but down there at the event. He was in good form. Peter Schmeichel, Dwight York was in town, Alessandro Del Piero, the best dressed man in all of Abu Dhabi over the course of the weekend. But it was Team Keimer that emerged victorious, 8-6. Fantastic weekend had by all. An awful lot of people making the journey down from Dubai just to get some selfies with some very big names in the world of sport.
It's not the only golf that you're concentrating on at the moment.
No.
We've got a lot more going on this weekend. The Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship presented by EGA.
Oh yes, I'm glad you got that full title correct there, Tim. And yeah, the European Tour season, it kicks off in earnest, or I say tease off in earnest this coming weekend. The Abu Dhabi National Course will be looking resplendent, no doubt about it. The world number one, Dustin Johnson, is back again. He finished runner-up on his debut 12 months ago. Tommy Fleetwood, the European number one, the defending champion, will be back. Rory McIlroy, an awful lot of intrigue surrounding the Northern Irishman. A disappointing, difficult, I think, 2017. He'll be looking to bounce back, and he'll be looking to bounce back with a winning start. And Justin Rose as well. So many big names. I'm looking forward to this. We will be down there all week from tomorrow. Rory McIlroy will be speaking to the press on Tuesday. We'll be down there doing a little recce tomorrow, and we'll have all the action across the weekend.
I always knew that Chris McCarty was, you know, an absolute monster when it came to sports broadcasting, but he has just gone to another level for me. All of that with not just one but two eyes on the football. He's behind me is Bournemouth Arsenal, and he's very well done.
Thank you, Claire.
Very well done.
Yeah, it's
I've said it a million times. He has no notes.
He's incredible.
To be completely honest, I'm a bit sickened by you, McCarty.
I know.
I mean that in a complimentary
way. He's the man that we'd all like to be.
You're making me blush.
Let's move on to another big local event, Chris. And they've announced today the team lineup for the Dubai Tour.
They have, yes. 16 teams in total. And I've got to be honest and say that I've now got my notes for this one. The fifth edition of the Dubai Tour. Marcel Kittel, the big German who resembles Ivan Drago from Rocky IV. For those of you that those film buffs out there, he is the spitting image of Dolph Lundgren in that film, and he is back to defend his title. He is the back-to-back champion. Mark Cavendish won it back in 2015. He's here with Team Dimension Data, so he'll be looking to make a run at it again. Of course, Mark Cavendish, winner of 30 stages in the Tour de France, he's been talking in the past couple of months about wanting to close in on Eddie Merckx's record of 34, so he'll be looking to start the season with a bang. All of that gets underway February the 6th, five stages in total, through to Saturday, February the 10th, and once again, well, your official media partner.
Yeah, busy old time for you at the moment, Chris.
It's good times.
It is. Let's talk cricket. South Africa, India, I guess. Is it day two?
It is day two. Into session three on day two. I can tell you India currently batting 107 for three. That was after South Africa made 335 in their for their 10 wickets all out. It was Aidan Markram who was the top scorer with 94. Hashim Amla as well. A decent knock from him, 82. India, though, making hay at this moment in time. Virat Kohli has just crossed over with his half century, 51 from 73 balls faced. He's been ably assisted by Vijay as well. He's not out on 46. So India looking to make a bit of a fist of this. Currently 107 for 3, 7 wickets in hand. They are, quick maths here, 228 runs behind.
All right, and the other one is Australia-England first ODI in Melbourne. I thought Australia looked pretty good early on, but not good
Absolutely
enough.
Absolutely not. No, this was an incredible performance by one man, and one man who will dominate the headlines this evening and tomorrow morning, Jason Roy, 180 from the English opening batsman, beating Alex Hale's record in ODIs of 171 for England. It's also the highest ODI score at the MCG down there in Melbourne, beating Mark Waugh's famous 173. So great knock that. England take a 1-0 lead. They needed some respite, didn't they? They need something to cheer after that Ashes 4-0 defeat, and they've bounced back. I say bounced back. It's a win in the opening ODI match, first of five, and England looking to at least take something home from this series.
Where was he in the tests when we needed a batsman?
Robbie Greenfield asked the same question this afternoon. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. I think Jason Roy maybe just had a point to prove, and maybe that's a little nod towards the selectors, but what a knock it is. 180. Yeah. You cannot scoff at that, ladies and gentlemen. That's just incredible.
Lots of dissection of England's test performance talked about the selection procedure, so maybe that sort of added to that. Tom messaged in, said, shave his beard off and see how he goes. I think he's referring to Chris McCarty. He could be like the Achilles of sports broadcasting. Take the beard off. He loses all of his power. We may try that one time, but then we would have nothing to talk about for the next 4 minutes. So let's talk about Anthony Joshua instead. Friend of Sports Tonight, of course.
He is. Thank you very much for that little nod, Claire. Yes, he is. He's going to be back in the boxing ring as well, March 31st. Confirmation today that he will be taking on the big Kiwi, Joseph Parker, in a World Heavyweight Unification fight. Cardiff, March 31st. Joshua, of course, is the IBF and WBA World Champion. New Zealander Parker is the WBO Champion. So this is two absolute gladiators, monsters colliding in the ring. Eddie Hearn has got his wish. He will be hoping, as an awful lot of boxing fans will be, maybe not Parker fans, for a Joshua victory that may well set up a fight in the fall, in autumn, with Tyson Fury. And then I've got a feeling that come 2019, all of the talk will then be AJ and a certain Deontay Wilder. If AJ gets past those three men, he can basically hang up his gloves.
He is the heavyweight champion of the world if that happens.
Yes.
Undisputed, blah, 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 all that stuff. And this is, of course, a unification bout, isn't it?
So, it is.
Eddie Hearn went to my school.
Did he really?
Yeah, lots of Eddie Hearn.
A lot younger than you, though, right?
Thanks very much.
Sorry, yeah, Tim.
Good 10, 12 years younger, I think, to be honest. But there you are. That's apropos of nothing. Quickly, we've got a couple of minutes, actually. So, football, where do you want to start with this? I suppose Alexis Sanchez.
That's the big one. Yes, big team news tonight. Bournemouth currently taking on Arsenal. 14 minutes gone down at the Vitality Stadium. Currently Bournemouth 0, Arsenal 0. The big team news, the big story of the day, though, Alexis Sanchez left out of the travelling party. And I remarked on this on Sports Tonight last week. I felt that the Manchester United interest was being perpetuated by his agent, or at least by Arsenal, in a bid to get more money, extract more money from Manchester City. It appears that I am wrong, and it's that happens often on this show and on Sports Tonight. But Manchester United, it does appear this evening, an awful lot of speculation doing the rounds that Manchester United in the next 24, 48 hours will be announcing Alexis Sanchez as their new signing. The number 7 jersey is vacant at Old Trafford. That is the number, of course, he's made famous at the likes of Arsenal, Udinese, Barcelona. £35 million, £290,000 a week. It would put him as one of the highest paid players in English football. A deal looks done. Alexis Sanchez will be, it appears, a Manchester United player this week.
How does he fit in that team now? Is that good?
He starts. Yeah, I think he does. I think it's one of the things I remark on often on Monday Night Football. I just think in wider areas, I think there's a lack of consistency. As good as and as promising as Marcus Rashford, Anthony Martial are, I think that they're still not the finished product. I then look at Juan Mata, Henrik Mkhitaryan, not the quickest. Alexis Sanchez gives you that. In transition, he's very good. And I think on the counter-attack, he really is an added weapon. And as we've seen, not so much this season, I think he's disappointed much of this season, but as we've seen in previous years, he's deadly in front of goal. And I do think, despite the fact he's 29, £35 million for a player of that ilk is decent money in today's world.
It's 0-0, by the way, in the ongoing football, Bournemouth, Arsenal, and later Liverpool City. Is it at Liverpool or is it at
Anfield?
City?
Yes, Anfield. That one kicks off 8 p.m. That is a match you can hear live and exclusive on this station, and I'll be keeping an eye on that one. I said earlier in the office as well, you look at Manchester City's fixtures, there's been an awful lot of talk of whether they can go the whole season unbeaten. If they get past Liverpool today, I say get past, if they come away from Anfield having not lost, and I think they've got a magnificent opportunity. They've been to Stamford Bridge and won. They've been to Old Trafford and won. Maybe Wembley, maybe Goodison Park if Everton fancy it. Other than that, there's not many other places that Man City can go to and feel that they'll think that it's a real challenge.
On recent evidence, I don't mean to be rude to Everton fans, but they don't fancy very much, do they?
Well, it's Sam Allardyce, isn't it? And I appreciate Everton haven't been great. They weren't great at the weekend, certainly, in defeat against Spurs. But I still, Everton on their day, you'd never say, you never rule them out. I'm sure Big Rossi from her sister station would agree with that. But we'll wait and see. But it's a big game this evening. If City, as I say, if they don't lose, they might just do it.
Do you know, when I was a kid, I was about, I don't know, maybe 9 or 10, I had decided I'm going to change my allegiance. So I went from West Ham United and I chose Everton. I have no idea to this day why. I think I just like the blue tops.
Were they winning at the time, Tim? I
think they may have been, yeah. Maybe that was what it was.
You were just a Toffee fan.
It could well be. Well, on the evidence of what was upstairs today in the newsroom, the Sue brought the big bag of eclairs, maybe that's the truth.
Yes.
Final story, just briefly on this. I just like the line. Bernard Tomic said he was heading home to count his millions after not qualifying for the Aussie Open. I think it's firmly tongue-in-cheek, but he has form.
Is it? Is
well,
it form-in-cheek?
I think form in this instance it is, but...
He was questioned about... I think it's the first time he will not make the main draw of the Australian Open, and to quote what he said to the waiting press, he just said, "I just count money, that's all I do. You go do what I did, you go make 13, 14 million. Good luck, guys. Bye-bye."
Yeah, well, there you go. So that's a very quick roundup of the sport today. Rahul texted in, actually, and said, just as you said, 107 for three, Vijay just got out, so you are the jinx of the day. Here's the last word for you, Mr. McCarty. Have a listen to this.
The last word.
Man stuck in freezer saved by...
I know, I love that. I'm going firmly sausages on that one. Sorry.
I'll go with dog.
Dog. Okay. What was the dog doing in a freezer, Chris?
Well, I'm thinking he was stuck in a freezer and the dog unlatched the freezer to let him out.
Oh, that's good.
Clever. You think things through. I like that. All right, then. So that's the last word. Once more, very quickly, text us in for this. Usual numbers.
The last word.
Man stuck in freezer saved by...
What do you think?
Long. Okay. Maybe a horse.
Yeah, well, the bleep... The Yeah, because there's two more letters than dog.
Oh, elephant.
Stick to the sport.
Yeah.
Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.